He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Wednesday morning, everyone. This is the November 25th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And also joining us as usual this morning is our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor, Paul Carlson. Good morning, Paul. I hope you're well.
Good morning, Barry. I am, and I hope you are as well. Looking forward to Thanksgiving, as you said, and it's kind of an exciting time after such a fantastic, you know, in the end, it became a pretty fantastic year, didn't it?
Yeah, certainly market-wise, end point to end point, if, you know, you're asleep during this, during most of this year, right? End point to end point looks great. You know, you might have jumped off the roller coaster a couple of times along the way, but, you know, I think overall, given the circumstances, we're certainly pleased at where we are, and certainly the market based on the Dow hitting 30,000 yesterday. The market feels okay. Seems to give it, given the clear as well. So we're still obviously not sounding the all clear ourselves, though some of the indices are at least testing some. Testing will eventually be testing some resistance up that up at these highs,
sure,
as well.
Sure.
So. So the most important thing is, like you said, Paul, we made it to Thanksgiving at least thus far. So, I'm sure you as well, and I know Bill, our turkeys are thawed. I guess our groceries, mm-hmm. Our groceries were ordered online, delivered straight to the trunk, of our car this go round, I guess. Maybe even be an electronic vehicle that you have your groceries put into this time around. At least that sector expects you to pick them up in someone to pick them up in an electronic vehicle, right? And as far as I know, I think we've got pretty much everything here. I know I've got to go by and pick up a half bushel of oysters for some oyster dressing that we're attempting. So, we'll give that a shot, which is kind of a staple down in these parts, in the mm-hmm. low country. So we'll give it a shot. And, next time we're on, I'll give you an update on how that was, but. Of course, right on cue yesterday, the Dow provided a good topic for I guess the dinner table this Thanksgiving, closing above 30,000 for the first time. It's at 30,046 for you those counting at home. That'd be 30,046. Of course, mm-hmm. it looks like it's dipped back below that today, which is kind of to be expected. It's historically a light day, volume-wise, on the equity markets. But we do have a plethora of economic news in this morning, so we'll probably dedicate the second quarter to kind of going through those numbers. So.
Sure, let's do that.
I think overall, it looks pretty positive, and we'll kind of dive into each one of those. But quite a, I don't know if that earnings release, they just go ahead and get everything out for the week now, since they're going to be taking it easy for the next couple of days or what. But
all the reports,
got mm-hmm. a lot to go through. Lastly, second half, we'll in honor of Thanksgiving, Paul and I will kind of reflect and just give our thanks, whether it's just what we've been facing worldwide or market related, family related, what have you. So we'll get into we'll kind of review at least some of the silver linings that we see after what's been a tough year for humanity thus far. Even if the markets are looking a bit unscathed at this point, but I guess, you know, before we kind of before we dive in, Paul, you want to give us just an update on the on our global markets, and we'll see where we're at, you know, with U.S. trading just opening here.
Yeah, so Japan overnight was down 0.5%. Hong Kong was up 0.3%. China down 1.2%. India down a little over 1.5%. And then over in Europe, you had London down 0.4%. Paris down just a tad at down 0.1%. Frankfurt down 0.25%.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And they were waiting. Yeah, I know some of them, of course, you know, were waiting on some of the information coming out of the U.S. data too. So,
right.
You know, the globe knew that there was a, you know, essentially an economic, economic Thanksgiving spread, you know, coming out today too. So,
that's right.
Yeah, I know. I guess we had, you know, a lot of things hitting highs yesterday. We had Bitcoin, hit a high, closing around 19.
It's remarkable.
I don't know if it ever really closes. I mean, every time I look at the price, it's always trading. So I don't know what time they actually.
I think it's a 24-hour market. Yeah, I don't know how you do.
Yeah, I don't know what time they actually use it. Yeah, to do the percent change, I've never figured it out at this point. You know, even having a small amount of it, you know, just to kind of learn it and use it along the way. But closed 19,304. Also saw where gold holdings are, you know, at their lowest level in the last 4 months.
That's really taken a beating, gold price. You know.
Yeah, and it's
down at 18.10 an ounce today.
Yeah, which is bad. You know, bad. You know, it doesn't look good for the metal, but you know, in terms of market sentiment, right? I think that's you know, a positive sign for, you know, for the rest of your holdings out there. You know, we've got crude oil. You know, some of those.
It's been perking up a little bit.
Yeah,
but and 45.25. Yep, that's still 30 cents today.
And those forward estimates have gotten some, you know, they've gotten some good news along the way in terms of you know, economic activity picking up. You know, it's interesting to me in seeing some of the, you know, some of the, you know, where we're at currently in the U.S., where the Dow is, and then, you know, kind of, you know, of course, Chinese markets, Asian markets, you know, have bounced back, you know, very well. And it's just, you know, Europe's kind of in the middle, and it's just been, you know, man, they're just kind of, you know, struggling from the standpoint of, you know, even prior to, right, they're prior to COVID, you know, they were, you know, they have, you know, a lot of challenges, you know, that they've been facing. And so, you know, I think they could just kind of continue to be a, you know, laggard, certainly, you know, from a recovery standpoint. With Asia and the U.S. kind of, you know, certainly leading that charge recovery-wise globally. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to kind of watch how Europe kind of digests this, where they have, you know, just a lot of, you know, almost, you know, divergent policies at, you know, kind of the, you know, what we would consider the fiscal level, right?
But, well, that's it. And Bill talked, you know, we've mentioned this for months, if not years now, that they rely too much probably on monetary stimulus rather than implementing some fiscal stimulus as well. So
yeah, and looking at the rates there in Europe, I mean, you know, I can just remember I used to track, you know, the Greece rate, right, Italy rate, all the pigs from 2000.
Portugal, Greece, you know, Spain.
And you look at them now. All of their, I was looking at all of their bond yields. They're all under, they're all sub one. So it's pretty remarkable in terms of,
like, lower than our treasury, which is at 0.864 right now. By the way,
yeah, which doesn't
include treasury, but some of them are at or below that.
Right. Well, it doesn't even include Germany below, right? At negative basis points, I think, the last time around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think as we kind of sit, and we'll get into some of the, you know, exact facts from where we're sitting in terms of, you know, when you breach a an important number, at least, you know, psychologically, or a nice round number, right? You know, you kind of reflect back and look at the Dow, and, you know, I mean, there's the, you know, it's been, You know, even when we see this as a major kind of resistance level from a technical perspective, I mean, 8 months ago.
Yeah, and the Dow is backing off today about half a percent, 29,913.
Right, no. And if you think about it, 8 months ago we were at right around 20,000. We hit a record level at
29 in January. Yeah,
at 29.5, basically 29,551 on February 12th. By March 23rd, we were below 20, and then
Way below.
Yeah, and then I was looking as of March 24th. Essentially, the index has kind of hadn't looked back since then, right? That's you know, marked the day as a day after the Fed announced provide basically the unlimited stimulus. You know, the Dow was up 11.2% on March 24th, and here we are at 30,000. But well, we're just getting started here on the Thanksgiving edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, and Paul and I will be right back here after the break. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill Gunderson today. It's November 25th, the Thanksgiving edition, and hopefully Bill's getting a quick start to the Thanksgiving spread this year. Yeah. So I know he'll be busy until the trading hour ends, at least until 4 p.m. today, but hopefully he can squeeze in injecting a turkey or something in between. So we'll keep him. I'll be sure to send him a picture of ours here a little bit later. So,
excellent.
But yeah, so I mean, you know, just kind of to recap, we've got in this segment we'll cover a couple more facts on just the Dow hitting 30,000. Also, a handful of other indices are hitting, you know, quietly hitting all-time highs yesterday as well. And then we'll get into just a packed economic calendar as well. But
yes.
from a market standpoint, looks like the Dow kind of as expected is pulling back a bit from the close. It's at 29,905 today, down about 47 basis points. S&P is also off all-time highs today at down 0.3% at 36.24. NASDAQ's actually basically flat, barely positive, up 2 basis points. That indice actually was about a quarter point away from all-time high yesterday too. So kind of a broad-based rally in terms of the indices across the board. S&P 500 was at an all-time record all-time high yesterday. I think it was maybe 36.35 comes to mind, which not a good round number, so it didn't get much headlines yesterday. But also the one that surprised me the most, Paul, was the Russell 2000. And that's one that in the middle of the pandemic
was on a tear for a while.
In the middle of the pandemic, we were joking around that it may become the Russell 1800 because we're thinking about 200 of those stocks might not exist anymore, or at least not their equity.
It suffered the most, for sure.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly the most, as you know, Paul, certainly aware of, is certainly the most. You know, credit.
Not
risk
a lot of
bust
stocks now in that Russell. No, not right now.
And a good bit of credit risk too. so that's of course, as anything with the market, if it comes back, then, you know, on the good news, it had the furthest to come back. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, they actually hit, you know, hit all-time highs yesterday, which actually was the one that surprised me the most. I didn't even realize that they were even that close.
It was kind of a stealth rally over the last month or so.
Yeah. And it's just a space that we haven't been, you know, very, right. you know, very thrilled about, you know, certainly, you know, kind of in the stock picking world. And so it's just, you know, just good to see, you know, everything coming in terms of, you know, all market cap from a broad-based rally is always, you know, always kind of a positive sign as well.
Mm-hmm. But, kind of a reversion to the mean.
Yeah. And so, you know, kind of where we were, you know, kind of talking about where we were on March 23rd and 24th. So, you know, between the 23rd and the 24th, you know, the Dow went to, you know, was just below 20,000, went to 2704. So it made about 700 points. On that day, and that's when, you know, the Fed announced stimulus, and, you know, the indices up 61% from the 23rd, and just to show you how percentages are odd, one day later, it's up 45% from 324. So, you know, quite a recovery in, you know, what's, you know, essentially exactly eight months' time yesterday. Pretty remarkable, and, you know, in tying this to, you know, Bill's, you know, market call back in March, you know, it actually, you know, if you look at the tape, you know, look at the chart, it's actually better.
Well, the article on Seeking Alpha.
Yeah. And it's better than a V-shaped recovery. So, you know, we're actually higher, you know, hitting a high here than we were, you know, back at, previous high was, you know, like I said, was February 12th, I believe. Yeah, February 12th at 29,551, which we're still above right now, by the way. So it's just, you know, just goes to show you that, you know, during times of the most uncertainty is usually when, you know, the
opportunity.
Yeah, hindsight's 2020 as always, and it, you know, of course,
in
it never
2020.
Yeah, and it never feels good to jump back in. You know, it's always two decisions, selling out, and, you know, you always think of one decision, but it's really two because you've got to figure out when to get back in. So, and then, you know, I think you know how we do that here, and you know, Bill's philosophy and the firm's philosophy is just, you know, kind of getting back in a measured pace, right? The, you know,
yeah, and having a line in the sand on the downside.
Yeah, and the market and the names are, you know, we want to own are going to kind of dictate, you know, how quickly, you know, we put cash back to work. You know, the to me, timing, in terms of, you know, we always think of diversification across asset classes, but we're thinking of diversification across time periods, you know, in a market like this, you know, we've essentially had a full market cycle from the end of 2019 to now, you know, which is pretty, you know, historically is pretty amazing. So, you know, it'll be, if you look at, you know, we used to always have one of these charts of the market, you know, from beginning to end. And, you know, of course if you look at it, you know, it's got a very nice, you know, upward sloping slope.
Yeah, well, the market's
positive slope. And so, yeah, and I kind of feel like now we're going to have these, you know, they always have these little spots where, you know, they had the, almost like an inset map, right, where it zooms in and it shows like a, you know, smaller version of the chart. And it's like, I can already see like the next version where it's going to have, you know, a little inset map on what's happened, you know, here, here from, you know, from a technical standpoint. So.
Sure.
It's going to be it'll be very interesting, and we've kind of all been around, you know, just you know, history in the making, essentially. You know,
do you think we can sneak in the economic reports before the next break?
Yeah, we'll get the let's get the menu in. So so we've, you know,
get the
calendar,
initial jobless claims came out. You know?
Yeah, so calendar, we've got, you know, we can go in order. So we've got the mortgage applications came in at 7 o'clock. 8:30 we had durable goods. We had GDP. And we had international trade in goods. We had initial jobless claims, which are, you know, some of the important ones, corporate profits, retail inventories, wholesale inventories. All that was before
new
the show
sales.
Started. And since 10 o'clock, we've had, new home sales, consumer sentiment, personal income,
personal
and
income.
Some confidence index, right? And so in terms of mortgages, yeah, you want to hop into it. Let's get through a couple. We're going to go ahead
with rates this low.
Hit the hard break now, and then we'll motor through those in the second half. So got a lot of good news here to I think to hit on. So we'll be back for the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour in just a moment. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill today. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Let's take a look at those economic reports.
We'll stop. We teased it enough. We'll go ahead and jump into those. So we'll start with the mortgage applications. I know. As Bill's been mentioning, of course, whether it's electronic vehicles or housing stocks, right? They're kind of been the hottest sectors, and it looks like this is continuing down that path, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I would say that last night we saw some retrenchment in those EV stocks in that sector,
right,
with the
yep.
some investigations, I guess, by Chinese government and so forth.
That's an interesting
piece. A
little bit
of a pullback there.
Yeah, one of the things we've always been worried about Chinese stocks is lack of regulation, and now the threat of regulation is the impetus for a pullback. So it's a little
bit. And Nikola NKLA, the CEO didn't really explicitly state that GM was still interested to continue with their investment. So
yeah.
I guess the market was a little bit disappointed in that.
Yeah, to me, in that space, they would, let's just say they can get out of the deal. Well, then they've got a lot of players that they could partner with in my book. But yeah, so, back to the kind of to the mortgage applications, looks like, the composite, index, we had, up 3.9% from the previous week. The purchase index was actually up 5%, and refinances were up 4%. The mortgage rate is now at 2.92%. I think that's an all time low for
that's a 30-year fixed. Yeah.
Yeah. For this particular
3.92.
Yeah.
Two nine. Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
The amazing is, which is what low rates do, is you have, year over year, a 79% increase in refis. Purchase mortgage apps were actually up, almost 20%, up 19%.
Yeah, so the new home sales ties with that. It was up, it was 999,000, which was 19,000 more than expected.
Yeah.
October,
so, no slowdown there. And, I think, as we were talking about yesterday, and Bill mentioned it too, with Yellen on, not that she controls interest rates at the Treasury, but I didn't really foresee necessarily rates rising anyway, but I think we all expect, low rates for an extended period of time. I will say her experience in dealing with, essentially unwinding three different crises over the years. This one being the third, the one that I forgot about when I was kind of going back was the Asian debt crisis. Actually, she was had some ties to the Clinton administration at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually helped, helped unwinding some of that crisis as well. So, it's she's very, very
is that long-term capital management, that fund?
That's the one that blew up at that point. We had, of course, Lehman in 2008-2009, and the Fed kind of jumped on it quickly this go round. So
and Bear.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. Yep. And so you have Durable good orders, the next thing on the menu here. So durable goods were up 1.3% versus 1% that was expected. That's, you know, coming in terms of trend, right? You know, a lot of these numbers, like we said, estimates are still hard to come by in terms of get right, but, you know, trending, everything seems to be trending in the right direction.
Except for maybe the initial jobless claims. That was
right.
Kind of disappointing.
Yeah. And that one's always a little, you know, that one's going to be the most
volatile.
Probably transient of the bunch, but yeah,
that's
you're right.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, what they're comparing to, I don't know, you know, in terms of if you think of, you know, holiday, holiday employment, I haven't seen any, you know, big numbers or anything, you know, that's really given a lot of, you know, a lot of clarity to what, you know, to what seasonal hiring is going to look like, you know, this holiday
mm-hmm.
season. You know, a lot of them, you know, in terms of, you know, grocery stores and your bigger, you know, your big box retailers, right? They've already done a lot of their, hiring and, you know, a lot of that was built up for, you know, COVID and quarantine. And then now,
mm-hmm.
you know, now it kind of just rolls right into the holiday season. So I don't know if we're going to get that normal bump of, you know, temporary workers that we've gotten in the past. Especially
hard to tell, for sure.
You know, especially if more of the shopping is going to be online as they're predicting. So,
right.
You know, good news is, you know, GDP estimate stayed the same. It's, you know, 33.1%. Versus the estimate and the consensus. So, you know, just confirms
mm-hmm.
a pretty large number. I think it's the, if I remember right, I think it's the largest ever, coming off probably the largest downward, you know.
That
ever.
Was for the revision.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, so that, that piece, you know, I do think the interesting thing was quarter two wages and salaries are now estimated to have fallen 32.6%.
Wow.
You know, which is, it just, you know, goes to show you that's a huge, you know, unemployment doesn't fill, you know, doesn't fill that gap. You know, and so you're, you know, you're going to have, I mean, that's kind of a big number that it's going to have to be interesting to see how that number, shapes up over time too. But, let's see, international trade, you know, based on last year, what we're up 1.2%. I know here in Charleston we've had a lots of big big ships coming in with the sea cans. I know they've been very busy over at the port. So you know my simple economic brain tells me that's a good thing for the overall economy.
Trade,
right?
Yeah.
So that's you know I'm always peeking across when we go over the bridge, Ravenel Bridge here.
Absolutely.
Peeking out
yeah.
and seeing what container ships are in the port. So
mm-hmm.
let's see, jobless claims. Of course, that's kind of the you know the big number. That's went up 30,000, still below that 800K number, but you know pushing what 778. It's higher than consensus was 730. So. Not the not the most encouraging report, and as you mentioned, it is a bit of a transient report, and you know it fluctuates. But you know, one of those things that's not in the right direction, at least for this week. So
for that week,
yeah. Good news is, Bill. You know, Bill like this. Of course, he's been hitting on it in terms of earnings season, right? Corporate profits were up. 27.5% versus minus 10% the last time. So it's good, you know, good to see, you know, things drop, you know, flowing through to the bottom line in terms of, you know, in terms of publicly traded companies. So that's a, you know, with stocks following earnings, right? That's a very, very important measure and something we look at very often. And Bill, you know, Bill tracks it as you know, the weekly earnings are presented to us. So
it's a key metric in our app, the best stock to know app that you can get at GundersonCapital.com.
Yeah,
key metric.
That's a very, very, very important, certainly growth rate in EPS and you know, even in revenues, especially for your younger companies before they're sending it to the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
But the looks like retail inventories increased, 0.8%. That's versus 1.7% prior. So, you know, I don't know if that's a bit of inventory tightening, and then we'll, you know, kind of blow through some of that demand coming up. I did see where there's going to be a delay, at least a short delay for iPhone 12. that they're having some issues with. So, those types of things are gonna, we're gonna get some of these ebbs and flows, I think, in inventories, at the wholesale level and retail level, especially as, parts of the country and parts of the world have, go back into some form of quarantine, right? Not a full lockdowns, but, you're gonna have some, you're certainly gonna have some ebb and flows in those numbers. Consumer sentiment edged down slightly. I think we were at, weren't we at an almost an all-time high at some point a while back?
It's pretty healthy.
We're at 76.9 versus 77 expected. So, I think overall, current conditions, 87 over an expected 85.8. Kind of a mixed bag, but, still showing good signs. And, your different Fed presidents, right? Bullard, and then the New York, he's the St. Louis president, and the New York Fed president, Williams. They're both, both optimistic as well. Well, it sounds like we've got some good things to be thankful for going forward in the market and economically. And so, in the last part of the show, Paul and I will cover some what we're thankful for, just and give it some reflection, and looking forward to it. And welcome back here to the second, to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And this will be the last segment before we stuff ourselves, via Thanksgiving. And however in which you're celebrating this 2020 version,
turkey.
Right. Yeah. It's that's probably the healthiest way, I would imagine, but. All I know is Publix had a turkey for $5. I got a 13 and a half pound turkey for $5.40. I think it was 39 cents a pound.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a loss leader or if there's something wrong with my turkey. We'll find out tomorrow. Real quick, we just in honor of Thanksgiving, we certainly Paul and I'd like to just kind of give a few thoughts on some things that things we're thankful for, whether it's, tied to the market, tied to the globe, personally, or professionally. So, before we get into that though, we do need to hit real quick the sell-off kind of in the Chinese, EV space is kind of accelerated this morning, I think.
I think it's the entire EV space, isn't it, Barry?
Yeah,
Excepting Tesla.
So I haven't looked at the U.S. names. I was just kind of peeking at, Zeping or XPEV. That one's down about 10% now. This morning when we were looking at it, some of this news came out, early this morning around 6 a.m. or so. Those names are down about 5%, right? So they're kind of sell-offs kind of, doubled, which... in reality, in that space, right, where you're, it's come so far so fast, it's probably
That's it. Some of these stocks are up 700-800% year to date.
Long term, it's probably healthy for the chart, right, to kind of come back to earth a bit and then retrench and hopefully go higher. But Li Auto, LI, it's down down about 9%, 9.5%. NIO's down about 4%. They're the ones that's actually stayed fairly steady. They were down about 3.61 this morning, and they're only down about 4% or so now. So, the rest have kind of doubled since. Candy's another one. It was down about KNDI. It was down 2.9, and it's down about 7 now. So, that piece is kind of, certainly is kind of picked up, and we thought that was, kind of important to mention. Paul mentioned Nikola, if you're still holding that one or still hoping on that one, looks like you know, GM, you know, they certainly didn't affirm it on the call. You know, on the other side of the spectrum, you know, Tesla, you know, blast through $500 billion market cap yesterday.
That's right.
Congratulations to them. The
to Elon.
I think comment the day before was that Tesla added a Ford yesterday.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. And speaking of Ford, they're purchasing a handful of those. A good number of the cryo freezers for COVID vaccination. So they ordered 12 ultra cold freezers for in-house distribution of COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah, and so UPS is making dry ice, I guess.
Dry ice, I mean, it's okay for the Omaha Steaks that Bill is getting sent.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure how that's transported. I don't know if I want UPS transporting it like Omaha Steaks. I'm not sure, but, regardless, we're thankful for them and all those that are been putting packages on our door since the heart of quarantine. That's not on my list, but they are on my list tangentially to a certain extent. But if you want, Paul, if you got, just some thoughts on on as we go into Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm certainly thankful for the scientists that have worked so diligently on developing the vaccines and getting, such a rapid response to this, health crisis.
Yeah.
And along those lines, I'm thankful for nurses and doctors on the front lines that tirelessly give it their all, even with the risk to their own health and safety. And then the third thing I would mention is that I'm thankful for our clients that they entrust us to, manage their investments and, do our fiduciary duty to do our best for their best interests. And so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, it's been, some of the good comments that we've gotten, during this time, it makes you feel good in terms of, you're just making a difference out there. I know, a lot of times in this business, especially kind of, on the planning side, right? Sometimes you don't want your planning to come to fruition, right? Because it's usually when something bad happens. And, so it's one of those things you don't always get to see, kind of the fruits of your labor to a certain extent. And, I think times of crisis, 2008-2009 was another one, that we've, having to, navigate, clients, whether, through and, psychologically mainly from an investor psychology standpoint. So, it's very encouraging and having a client base that's, very market savvy, to a certain extent that understands kind of how we manage money and what we do and how Bill employs, cash and inverse ETFs to kind of help, help cushion, some of those downturns but also, using that, focusing on stock specific risk to to kind of help, returns
for the performance,
the actual part we have in the market. So, that ties into, most importantly, I think just, like you said, human ingenuity, thankful for this time around. I mean, human beings have, we're all, going in the right direction in terms of just the putting on, putting all the resources and kind of a collective effort into, finding, solutions to this crisis, whatever they are, whether they're, from a vaccine standpoint, or truck drivers, I think are a lost, kind of a lost group who, they're moving all these goods and getting our, toilet paper to our front door, in one form or fashion.
right.
And we see them coming off the port every day here, in Charleston. And so, if they're not moving goods, nothing's moving, right? Grocery store staff, also, mainly, the family. I think, whatever your version of family is, whether it's, your faith family, work family, Bill and the team, you guys, my family at home, it's just been great, all around, lots to be thankful for, even in time of crisis that we've had this year. So, just thanks to all and look forward to, finishing out 2020 strong. And thank you, Paul.
Check out our website, GundersonCapital.com.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.